Ray Tensing, the former University of Cincinnati police officer accused of shooting motorist Samuel DuBose, has been indicted this week on murder charges.
The incident is the latest in a string of white police officers killing unarmed black people. In this case, former officer Tensing was wearing a body camera during the fatal traffic stop, and the footage appears to contradict his version of events.
The case has sparked more national discussion about the way minority communities are treated by police, the use of police body cameras, and police traffic stop procedures.
We're joined now by Charles Epp, a professor in the School of Public Affairs at the University of Kansas. He's also the author of Pulled Over, How Police Stops Define Race and Citizenship. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, this incident, this latest with Samuel DuBose, how does this fit into your research?
Well, what's striking about this case, as in the case of Sandra Bland and also Walter Scott, in each of these stops, the officer probably was stopping the driver, in this case Samuel DuBose, just to check him out. That is, the justification for the stop was really a minor one. In fact, the prosecutor in Hamilton County there called it a pretty chicken crap stop, his words. Typically, I will say white drivers are not stopped for minor reasons like this. In our research, we find that black drivers are commonly stopped for very minor reasons, and then the officer proceeds to ask questions like, what are you doing in the neighborhood? Is this your car? And things like that. And not uncommonly, the officer then proceeds on to carry out a search of the vehicle. And in each one of these stops, of course, as we know, things escalated badly after that initial interaction in which the officer asked some questions. And we find in our research as well that although black drivers and officers generally try to avoid these kinds of escalations, sometimes they do happen. And when they do happen, tragedies sometimes result.
Now, you use the phrase, check him out, and there's a more formal phrase that you've used in your research. Like, I think that term is investigatory stop. So what normally happens on an investigatory stop, and what are police looking for at that moment?
Yeah, officers use these stops to check for illegally carried weapons and illegal drugs, or also just information about what the driver is up to. Officers will generally have some sort of legal justification for making the stop, but that's not hard to come by. Most of us sometimes don't signal a lane change, as in the case of Sandra Bland, or we have some minor vehicle defect or something like that. So the officer has a justification for making the stop, walks up and may announce that justification, but then very quickly proceeds to ask questions and also look around the visible contents of the vehicle. And what we find in our research is a pretty clear pattern. If the officer's curiosity is quickly addressed, resolved, the officer may let the driver go with nothing more than a warning or with a ticket for a very minor violation. But if their curiosity is further piqued, they may proceed further and further, and as I said a moment ago, may request or demand a search of the vehicle. Along the way, in our research, drivers commonly told us that as the stop proceeds further, if it does, they are subjected to a handcuffing, even if they're never arrested in the end and let go. So these stops can go on for quite a while if the officer's curiosity is not satisfied, or if he or she sees something that they think indicates a serious illegality. But in any case, it's a very uncomfortable experience for the person being stopped. And as I say, commonly, the people subjected to these kinds of stops are African Americans, less commonly whites.
We're talking right now with Charles Epp, professor in the School of Public Affairs at the University of Kansas, also author of the book Pulled Over, talking about the Samuel DuBose shooting and police policy and procedures. Now, if a person is pulled over by a police officer, do they have a legal right to refuse that officer access to their vehicle beyond what the officer can see, say, with a flashlight?
That's a very good question, and the answer to that is actually complicated. They have a legal right not to give consent for that search, but if the officer asserts that he or she has seen some probable cause that would justify, you know, legally justify the search, then the officer may proceed to make that search without that consent. But what we find, and other studies have found as well, is that in some 90 to 95% of vehicle searches, the officer has gained the right to do that search by asking for consent and by getting that consent from the driver. And the driver does have the right to refuse consent. That's very clear. Now, I will say the practical reality is most people in this situation feel that they have no choice but to consent. They think it'll just get worse if they don't. So they say, yeah, sure, go ahead, even if they would much rather it not happen.
Now, in this case, things unfolded the way they did in the indictment because of a body cam that that officer was wearing. How do you see that changing the landscape of this kind of interaction between police and minority communities?
Well, it's still a bit too early to tell, but there are now several studies that have looked at the effect of body cameras on these tense interactions between people in stops. And what they find is, generally speaking, the presence of body cameras reduces the number of complaints against officers. And one study found a significant reduction in use of force by officers when the body camera is present and in operation. Now, as I say, it's probably still too early to declare case closed. We know that body cameras solve this problem. I don't think that they do. It's a complicated question, but the evidence at this point is suggesting that officers behave better in these tense interactions when they know that their actions, their words, are being recorded by a camera.
Now, you've called for a severe scale back to this kind of investigatory stop. How do you think that would help in this situation?
Well, as I say, this stop is used much more commonly against black drivers than against white drivers. It also is used much more commonly against young drivers than older drivers and against men than women. So there are some clear biases in the use of this type of stop. The vast majority of people who are subjected to these stops, both white as well as black, but especially black drivers who experience them commonly, feel indignant at the experience, feel that they have been harassed, sometimes feel that they've been abused by the process, and their trust in the police goes down as a result of this. Also, the vast majority of these stops yield nothing, no illegally carried weapon, no illegal contraband of any sort. And so, on balance, we argue this type of police procedure is much more harmful than it is helpful to the policing mission. It harms the people who are stopped, and it harms the police who are trying to gain the trust of the public and get their help in fighting crime. And for all of these reasons, we argue in the book, and we have a lot of evidence to support it, that policing would be better off and our communities would be better off without the widespread use of these stops.
Now, when we're talking explicitly here about this kind of traffic stop, what else do you think needs to change? You'd like police to stop using this sort of stop as often. Anything else that you think should be a big point of interest for police as they move forward and try to improve the relationship between the force making these traffic stops and the people who are being stopped?
Two things that I would recommend. One is a concerted effort to train officers to deal respectfully with members of the public in every stop. Respectful treatment goes a long way toward rebuilding trust in the police, and it is one of the most significant complaints that African-American drivers have about police officers in stops. But as we argue in the book, respectful treatment isn't enough. A very respectful officer can carry out a highly intrusive stop, and in that case, the driver is indignant over the experience of the stop, even if the officer is impeccably polite. So respectful treatment is important, but not enough. The second thing is, I have come to believe, as a result of these recent studies, that body cameras may go some distance toward helping to address this problem as well. But I will say again that, like respectful treatment, a body camera is not enough, because officers may go completely by the book in making a stop like this and do nothing that violates any rule and still carry out an intrusive stop that a driver finds to be harassment, simply put. So several things. The bottom line is, we're convinced, my co-authors and I, that the only way to address this problem in the end is to really significantly rein in these investigatory stops that lead to these intense encounters that sometimes escalate into tragedies.
Charles, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Charles Epp, a public affairs expert, talking about the impact of the Samuel DeBose shooting on police policy and procedures.